Amen. Many, 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 many years ago in 69, I believe, 1969, a group of people got together with the idea of going to the moon, well, throughout the 60s. And when they set off to go to the moon, I don't know if many people know this, but as they boosted, all they really were doing in hindsight is actually getting a capsule and throwing it towards the moon. Now, the problem with the moon is it was moving, and the problem with the Earth, it was moving as well. And the gap between them is a long distance. And according to their testimony, every 10 minutes or so, night and day, they had to make slight course adjustments. Sometimes it could be just a little bit, other times it could be a lot. But over time, they had to make it because there's this big white thing in front of them getting increasingly bigger, but they had to continuously to make readjustments. And they had a landing strip of approximately 500 miles on the moon. And they were within feet of overrunning that. So even with all those cost adjustments, they nearly missed where they were going to land. They were going to hit the moon, but they needed to land on a safe spot. I'm telling you that because throughout our Christian life, we've got to make probably, you know, weekly, monthly, if not daily, cost adjustments on the things that God's got for us. God's got a plan and a purpose for us, and for some reason, we always assume that it's a straight path and we're okay, but sometimes we can be slightly off at the start, which means further on, we're completely off. So we need to make little adjustments as we go along. Now, in the Bible, I'm going to be looking at a story from Joshua, the book of Joshua, and you've got chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, which is talking about how, you know, they entered the land. Moses is dead, God said. Get up and go. Quite sympathetic, really. He says, get on with it. And they go over the Jordan and they land there and they're ready to take the land. And then in chapter 6, you get all this business about Jericho. And God says, when you take Jericho, I'm giving it to you. Take everything and it's dedicated to me. So don't plunder anything. Just take it all. Put it in the tent of meeting and it's mine. And then we get into chapter 7. Up to press, everything's going perfect for Israel and Joshua. They're in God's plan, God's purpose. They know what God's got for them. They've won a great victory. But how many of you know that when you've won a great victory, that can be a very dangerous place to be? Because not only have you got over something, you've had a breakthrough. The most dangerous parts of any person's life is in a great time of success or when they've completely messed up. And in those two extremes, we've got to be careful. So tonight I want to look at, are we getting ready to fail? It's an interesting one. Are we getting ready to fail? Because Joshua had just had a great success and he's going to go out and take the next town. He's gone from taking a huge city to taking a little village and it kind of messes up. You can read it for yourselves at another time. But the problem was that Joshua and the children of Israel were about to learn a tragic lesson that past victories are no guarantee of continuing victories. You can't settle back because you've done it once, it's automatically going to happen again. Because sometimes our victories that we've got and in the past now, and we've got to move on. I talk to people about witnessing all the time, and they often tell me, yeah, I used to witness. God never told us that we should have used to have witnessed. He should have said we should be witnesses. Continuation. He doesn't say, well, I read my Bible 4 months ago. He says we should be spending time in his presence reading and stuff like that. So Joshua knew that it was in God's will. Joshua had a plan from God. He knew he was on the right track from God, but he needed to follow God's plans of what God required. But he went into taking Ai, a little village, and they lost it. In fact, when they took Jericho, they had this great idea, let's send two spies in. So these two guys went in. This is when Rahab pops into the story. They spied it out, and then they run off into Ilsa a couple of days, and then came back and says, we can do it. This huge city. God did a great miracle and they took the city. So then now Joshua had one victory. And do you know what he does? He thought, I know what I'm doing. I'll send a couple of spies in because that's what we did last time. And these spies went and said, it's a small village. It's like Sobe. Little village. We can take it. Don't bother everybody. We can just take it with 3,000 men. So Joshua thought, wow, that's a good thing. So they sent 3,000 men in, and these 3,000 men got routed by an handful of men who chased them. And it says actually that 27 people died. Now, there's seven reasons why this happened. Number one, Achan had nicked some stuff out of the Jericho and hidden it, which God told him not to do. But another reason is because Joshua didn't ask God for direction. You see, sometimes just because it's worked right well and worked good once does not mean that's the pattern for the next time. It can be. It kind of annoys me when people say to me, well, we did it this way and it worked, so we don't need none of this newfangled ideas. If that was true, some of you ladies are still being the twin tub instead of washing machine. Some of you young'uns need to Google twin tub and see what your grandparents had to put up with. But Joshua, the first thing he didn't do properly, he didn't seek God's direction for the second battle, and he didn't know about Achan's sin. So there was already a problem there, and he didn't know. He just charged on. At the end of the day, I've got God's will and God's plan, and God's told us to take this land, and God's given us this land, and I'm going for it. And yet, they came unstuck. So the first thing that we need to look at, so that we can continue in victory, we must avoid self-confidence. One of the things that many people have, the teachers these days, and the tellers, we need a good self-esteem. And there's nothing wrong with having a good self-esteem, you know, but I mean, it's good to be confident. But at the end of the day, self-confidence can be a problem when it comes to God. Because why do you need God if you're confident of doing it yourself? You know, you can just do it. What do you need him for? How can I once had a chat with somebody about faith, and I said, faith and fear run together. And they said to me, no, fear and faith are complete opposite. You can't have them. But I said, no, if there's no fear, then you don't need faith. If you don't know what I'm talking about, ask Carol to take you for a spinning car. Then you'll know fear and you'll need faith. Sorry, Carol, she's not that bad. I didn't say no, did I? No. We're all right. But self-assurance, self-confidence, will actually become a problem. And Joshua was self-confident. I've done it once, he thought. I can do it again, not a problem. But Joshua actually reused the tactics that God had used in the first place, and he'd had success, but it wasn't right for this one. And it kind of came unstuck. You see, we need to remember that God has chosen his own ways to do things with his own outcomes and his own criteria. Sometimes we think God's told us to do it, let's do it, but sometimes God will give us a criteria and he'll actually have certain things to do. So one of the mistakes that Joshua made, this is still on point one, is Joshua presumed he knew how to approach Ai. He just went up there like he'd done before. Second mistake he made, he presumed to know how to fight Ai. He just set a small number up and they're going to be all right. And the third mistake he made is Joshua presumed to believe he would triumph again like he'd done before. And he didn't. And it cost people's lives. So to avoid failures in our lives, we need to avoid self-confidence. The second point we need to avoid is self-assurance. There's confidence and being assured. Sometimes you can tell people, if you ever, not that many of you will, my dad's quite interesting. We talk about things and eventually he'll go, Johnny, I know, which means, shut up, I'm not listening to you. It's kind of code, I know. You can't tell me, I already know. And sometimes with God, we're so self-assured and God's going, I want to tell you something. And you're going, yeah, God, I know. You don't have to tell me, God, I know. You've already prophesied it over my life. I'm doing your will. I already know. And God's going, okay, go. You know what I mean? We crash, we burn. And then suddenly we go, God, why did you let this happen? And God's going, can we talk now? And we blame God. And God's going, hey, there's a new plan, a new purpose. How many of you know that if you do the same thing all the time the same way, it kind of gets boring? Unless, of course, it's cheese sandwiches for your dinner. first 5 years of marriage, I just liked cheese sandwiches. Always liked cheese. I like cheese. So I would say to Jo, I'll have cheese sandwiches for my dinner. So she would say, what would you like them with? I goes, bread. Cheese and bread. Maybe a bit of pickle. Branston. So she would try to change it and say, would you like ham? I said, well, I'll have ham and cheese. Would you like salad? I'll have cheese and salad. Maybe ham as well. And after 5 years, she thought I'd be bored of it. But I'm a man. Cheese sandwiches are all right. You know, I can eat fish and chips for dinner, and then I could have fish and chips for tea. It means nothing to me. I don't get this idea, well, you had it for lunch, you can't have it for tea. Well, if I like it, I can. I'm a man. I'll have it tomorrow and the day after. All the time. I'm just one of those people. But when it comes to God, God's mercies are new every morning. He likes to keep things fresh. He likes to keep things a bit unexpected. I actually think God's a bit edgy in the positive sense. I think he does things deliberately just to get things going. I mean, Jesus, look at his life. He'd be walking down the road and there'd be a demon-possessed fella coming up. And he didn't say, guys, there's going to be a demon-possessed, I'll give you some teaching. He used to just throw the guys in there, didn't he? Get in there and see what happens. And they'd all freak out and stuff would happen. But Jesus had quite a good sense of humour. But get back on track, Johnny, quickly. We need to make sure we're not self-assured. Joshua was self-confident, which led him to be self-assured. Unfortunately, he missed the very one important aspect of following God's plan, seeking his direction first. See, we always assume, we're good. Have you ever gone anywhere and you think you've been there twice before you know where you're going? Now, I can do that. I can travel anywhere. Once I've been once, I can get there a second time without TomTom, sat-nav or anything, or a map. I just do it. It's just my brain. It works that way. But some people can go 4, 5, 6 times and still get lost. Maybe not. At the next left, no matter. But at the next junction to the left. As a result, Israel, you know, with 3,000 men were routed. See, we need to remember that God actually does desire victories in our life. God desires you to have victories. He desires for you to overcome the giants and to step through. God's desire is to give you victories in your life even today. Remember what the Bible says? Romans 8:37. Yet to all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who has loved us. We're more than conquerors. That kind of implies that he wants us to be victorious, doesn't it? 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us victories through the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it kind of sounds like he wants us to be victorious. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphant in great in Christ. We're winners in him. So how can we fail? Usually because we don't ask God what we're doing. Why don't we ask God? It's usually a bit of pride in there, isn't it? I mean, most men, if they get lost, I'll say most, but they don't ask for directions, do they? If you ever watched Cars, there's that family going round all the way through the film getting lost. Now, why do I ask people? But I'm smart. I'll pull over, wind window, I says, can you help me? I'm looking for this place. And then they'll point me in a direction, and then I go 100 metres up the road, and then I stop again and ask somebody else. Because I've been down some dead ends when people say, oh, yeah, just go down there. Over that bridge, that's not even there. I mean, you're in trouble anyway. But so I always ask too, but some people don't ask directions. But in God, he wants us to ask directions. Even when we've had a victory and we're moving on to the next stage, he wants us, God, am I still on track? Am I still good? Do I need a course adjustment here? Do I just need to move it a little bit? Am I doing all right, God? And that's fellowshipping with God, isn't it? Working with God. You see, sometimes we can be so good at what we do that we don't need God anymore. And when we don't need God, God just lifts his hands up. And I wonder sometimes how many churches within our nation and people with great ministries, when they get to a point, they realize that God's not there anymore. Because they've done it on their own for so long. Anyway, where are we? So we need to avoid self-confidence and avoid self-assurance. And the third thing I put down here, having failed, having gone flat on your face, returning to God. That's quite straightforward, isn't it? You know, you go flat on your face, return to God. Question though, Why does it always take us so long when we crash to turn back to God? Why is it when we make a failure and mess up that we suddenly, why don't we just turn to God straight away? Why is it the women know when they've done something wrong and they're straight there, God, you know, sort out, but men, have you ever known some people, you know they're making a mess of it, but they keep going? And it's usually men, isn't it, ladies? It's usually the men. They keep on going, even though you know they're wrong, and they know they're wrong, and everyone, but it's where pride comes in, and they keep on. Why don't we turn to God so fast? Interesting question. Everyone suffered, you know, in that day when they took on AI. 27 people died, but I wonder how many families suffered because dad didn't come home, or the son didn't come home, or the brother didn't come home that day. And they buried him out there. Because of one person's sin in the camp, it caused a defeat. And yet, if it had gone to God in the first place, God would have said, the sin in the camp, which he did. And then they go through all that, dividing the people up and finding out who it is. And eventually, not only did it cost Achan his life, it cost his wife, her life, their children, their livestock, and everything. Everything that he had. Now, that sounds quite cruel, but it would indicate that his wife knew about it and his family knew about it. And I'm not being funny, but if I'd have been there and they'd have said, the sin in the camp, and it's landed on the tribe of Judah, and I'm thinking, I'm in Judah, I'd have been admitting to everything. In fact, I heard a preacher once do this, and he went through something similar, he was preaching about this, and he actually said, the sin in the camp, in the church, the sin, and it's stopping us moving forward. And at the end of the meeting, there were a queue of people going, is it me? Is it me? And he's going, no, it's not you. No, it's not you. No, it's not you. But he knew who it was. And that person did not come forward. But many people were so, like, just making sure it's not me. Making sure it's not me. People suffered because of Achan's sin. But the fact is that they suffered because Joshua didn't ask God for direction. You know, in desperation, Joshua actually retreated from his self-confidence and self-assurance by seeking God, whereupon God informed Joshua of Achan's sin and provided Joshua with directions for what to do. So God dealt with the situation. He told Joshua what to do, and it came about. And, you know, these are the points we've been looking at. We need to avoid self-confidence, self-assurance, and we need, when we have failed, to return to God. And then the last one is, when we return to God, is that we must seek God's direction. Guys, it doesn't matter how good you are or how you've crashed. At any moment, you need to ask God, God, am I on track? And even if you know you're in the bullseye of the will of God, you still need to say, God, do I need to make a course adjustment here? Is there something that I need just to put right, deal with, just to keep on target? Because we do drift. I'm not an avid skier. I'd like to do snowboarding at some point. But what I have been told is that sometimes if you're on a snowboard and you're on the snow, but it's very misty and you can't see where you're going, if you stand still, you could feel like you're standing still, but you could be moving. You could be moving. If anyone's done any skiing, you'll understand that. But even in God, sometimes if we're not careful, we can be slipping, moving. And we need to ask God, God, am I on track here? Am I doing right? The army with God's direction, when Joshua took them forward, he knew God's plan. He actually says, see, I have given them into your hands, the king of Ai, his people, its city, and its land. And Joshua went and took them. And then later on, with God's plan, Joshua knew how to possess. It says, you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. In other words, wipe them all out. Different strategy, but God got it sorted for them. And when we follow God's plan and we seek direction, God can restore our victories. See, guys, if you've never crashed and burned, if you've never failed, then realistically, it's hard to learn if you don't get it wrong. And yet we become quite averse to the word wrong or failure, because we should have it all together, shouldn't we? We should have it together. But sometimes Guys, you're always going to mess up. We're always going to do it. You know, traveling up kids, it changes all the time. You know what I mean? I'm not there yet, but when grandkids come on, it changes even again. So we need to readjust our course with God, but God will always lead us into victory if we ask him about it. He says, in conclusion, hey, I even put a conclusion. That's got you all happy, hasn't it? Conclusion. You can have me notes later on. God wants us to triumph as we face the obstacles that are in our way. When we follow his plan, his direction, although we are frequently run, as we frequently run against human logic and reason and common sense, we can still triumph. See, sometimes there's common sense. And the problem with common sense is not actually that common with some people. But God's plan can sometimes almost go against common sense. It can sometimes go against, you know, what is logic. And I'm not talking, you know, don't go crazy on me on that one. Well, I mean, I don't know about you, but I have heard people say, well, God told me. And you're thinking, no, he didn't. But there is times when God will actually ask you to step out. And it seems quite illogical. Yet in God, we can be assured. However, we must be careful not to, you know, jump into self-confidence and self-assurance. After each victory in our lives, we need to make sure that we don't become self-confident and we become self-reliant, because after all, we'd sorted it out. The moment we actually take glory for ourselves on a victory, we've already lost the battle, the next one that's coming along. We need to acknowledge it's God that gives us the victories, and it's God that protects us, and it's God that's walking with us. This was an error of Joshua, but he actually knew, learnt, and moved on. And guys, if you've messed up, if you've failed, or if you do fail, then don't wait too long to admit it to God. We're not Catholic. We don't put a booth. These are not a little confession booth going on down here. You know, you don't have to tell me all the ins and outs, and I'll give you 25 Hail Marys if you give me 10 quid. But you don't have to confess them to me. But let me tell you this. You need to put it right with God. And then if he says put it right with a person, deal with it fast. You know, sometimes it does make me laugh when people say to me, God told me this, and then 10 years later, they've still not done anything of what God told them. Usually when God tells you something, it's usually it means business, and he wants you to move into it as soon as possible. But when we've had a great victory, let us continue to seek God's face. And when we go flat on our face, let us continue to seek his face, asking for directions so that we will not be getting ready to fail. Amen.